This Janet Mefford Today podcast is brought to you by Affirm Films and the Kendrick Brothers movie Overcomer, starring Alex Kendrick and Priscilla Shire, rated PG, parental guidance suggested, in theaters August 23rd. More information is available at overcomermovie.com.
This is Janet Mefford Today.
Our confidence is in Christ alone.
Are we going to stand with God come what may?
If the Word of God says it, I believe it.
And that's the way it is.
And now, here is Janet Mefford.
Welcome, everybody. Great to have you with us again. While we are all familiar, no doubt, with the struggle against sin that the Apostle Paul articulates in Romans chapter 7, in which he says in part, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want." Well, we've all been there, but how do we leave our old lives behind and grow in holiness? Is there any hope for a better life in Jesus Christ? That is what we're going to talk about today with Bob Merritt, senior pastor of Eagle Brook Church in Minnesota and author of the book we'll be discussing called Done With That, Escape the Struggle of Your Old Life. Bob, wonderful to have you with us today. How are you?
Janet, I'm well. Thanks. It's great to be with you as well. An honor.
Thank you so much. It's an honor for me to have you here. And I know this book was born out of your own personal experience, which I always appreciate when somebody is willing to talk about their own struggles. I know that's not an easy thing to do all the time, but maybe you can just talk a little bit about what you've described as some of the most painful days of your life that you talk about in the book.
Yeah. So I'm 62 years old, been a pastor at Eagle Brook now for 28 years. And we were a church about 300 people. 10 years in, we were at 10,000, and it started to go so fast for me. I was under a lot of stress trying to keep up with it, and just, you know, made some professional choices. I took on way too much work. And when you're in stress or under stress, at least for me, the worst parts of my character or my behavior tend to surface. And that began to happen 10 years into leading this church. My main issue was verbal misconduct, just treating people harshly with my words, being angry, not having patience for people, including my wife and children. So, you know, this issue began to bubble up too often and began affecting our staff. Fortunately, our church board noticed my verbal blunders and said, "Look, either, you know, get this rectified or you're going to get fired."
Wow.
And that was a moment in my life that, you know, all time stopped.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And my jaw dropped on the boardroom table there, and I just couldn't believe what I was hearing.
Wow. Were you aware up until that point how bad the situation was, or did it kind of come to you as a surprise? You didn't really see yourself as other people were seeing you.
Yeah, so, you know, my wife would say, "Bob, you're out of control," or that language hurt me, or she would oftentimes break into tears. My kids would, you know, squirrel away into their rooms and just try to avoid me. But I, you know, I would hear that and I would say, "Well, I'm under a lot of stress. Everybody has their issues. This is no big deal." So people would point it out to me, and staff who had courage would dare to, you know, approach that topic very gently with me. But basically, I was unaware. I had hints people would tell me, but I just excused it as being under a lot of stress and, you know, no big deal. Carry on with life.
Yeah.
Don't you all realize I have this big job I have to do? Just kind of get out of my way.
Right.
There were signs all over the place, but I just wasn't seeing them. I just self-awareness was very low.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I understand stress can really do things to people, especially high-energy people with a lot of responsibility. But at the same time, as a Christian and as a pastor, you're dealing with an issue of sin. Now, was that a difficult thing to go from thinking of your anger and your impatience with people as being just a stress-related incident and then having to deal with it as actual sin? Was that difficult to kind of make that transition and say, "Wow, I really have to deal with this before the Lord"?
It was difficult. I mean, it was extremely difficult. The counselor I saw for a full year, the board said, "You either get help with this or you're done." So I saw a counselor, professional coach for a full year, and he took 225 pages of feedback from my family members, my staff, anybody who knew me, what's good about bad, what's bad about Bob, and read that back to me in a 3-day lockdown. And I'd never had any experience like that. Very difficult.
Wow.
To hear back, you know, him reading to me, your son said, my dad is angry all the time. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, Bob says things that cut me to the core. And I would hear those statements repeated by dozens of different people. And so when you hear it repeated by different people, the same kinds of statements, you gain awareness real quick. And you say, well, this is a problem. And it's very difficult to hear that. But it was also my day of salvation, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Boy, I don't know if I'd want to sit through that. That would be really awful.
Nobody does.
Oh.
Who would want to do that?
No.
But everybody else, when you realize that this is a behavior that everybody else is seeing in you and experiencing from you, I mean, it'd be worse just to keep living that way, unaware of it, but everybody else is experiencing it. So I just had enough awareness, I guess enough humility to say that I've got to change this if I can.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. When you go back to our struggle with sin, a lot of people are under the mistaken impression that once you become a Christian, you are a new creature in Christ, but you do still wrestle with sin. How did the Lord bring you out of that situation and kind of bring you into a state of transformation and really change you? Because I think that would be encouraging for a lot of people who say, boy, I just have my own besetting sins and it's such a struggle and I don't think I'm ever going to get any victory over it. But what did you learn during that period of time from the Word of God and from the Lord dealing with you in your conviction of your sin at that time?
Well, there's a lot to learn. First of all, I couldn't overcome it by myself.
Right.
I needed help. I needed support. And so, you know, the Bible all the way through says, be led by the Spirit, be filled by the Spirit, be controlled by the Spirit. This was really a spiritual warfare issue with me. I needed to ask God to forgive me. I needed to daily ask God's Spirit to fill me with His power and with His strength to overcome this. But it really goes back to, I asked my counselor, I said, you know, what hope do I have? Do you think I can change? And he said, well, 40% of the people that he sees are able to change. And I said, what's the difference? He said, the key issue is humility. He said, people who are humble enough to accept the feedback and really honest enough with their sin or their problem, if they're honest enough, humble enough, those are the ones who are able to make it. And so I humbled myself before the Lord, before my staff. I even humbled myself before the church and apologized for my misdeeds. I actually told them about my full year of counseling, and I just apologized. And
that's
so
great.
That really is a breakthrough piece of it, just being humble enough, honest enough. I talk in the book about we all have a signature sin, Janet.
Yes.
And, you know, mine was verbal misconduct, among other things. I struggle with other issues as well. But, you know, what's that one thing that keeps tripping you up? Are you aware of it? Are you honest about it? And are you willing to do something about it?
Well, that's a good lesson to learn. Has it been easier for you to deal with that sin since you went through that nightmare situation that you've described?
Yeah, I mean, I think I will always struggle with being quick with my words and sharp. So again, being aware of that, and then also being able to see the hurtfulness in others, being more aware of, ooh, that looks like that was hurtful to that person, and quickly cycling back to apologize, to say, hey, look, I'm so sorry about that. When you get into the habit of recognizing and then having to go around and apologizing over and over and over again, you get tired of that.
Yeah.
I mean, where's that where you have to continually eat your words and go back? So the recognition piece is really, really key. That helps you guard your mouth, guard your words, at least for me. Speak slower. Don't run around the office like a chicken with my head cut off trying to put out fires. Just walk slower even. Be more thoughtful about my words. Those are all behavior things. But I had to dig deeper, too. What was fueling all this?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's take a quick break because we do need to pause for a moment. Bob Merritt is with us. We'll come back to discuss his book, Done With That, Escape the Struggle of Your Old Life. You're listening to Janet Mefford today. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
From Affirm Films, Provident Films, and the Kindred Brothers comes Overcomer. John Harrison is a frustrated coach questioning his value until he crosses paths with a student struggling on her own journey.
What have you allowed to define you? When you find your identity and the one who created you, it'll change your whole perspective. You
Overcomer, starring Alex Kendrick and Priscilla Shirer. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters this Friday. More information is available at overcomermovie.com.
I was afraid. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. Everybody wanted me to have an abortion.
The battle for life has heated up in our country, and standing for life is more difficult than ever. The Ministry of Preborn empowers young women in crisis to choose life by letting an expectant mother hear her baby's heartbeat and see him on an ultrasound. She's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
She did let me hear the heartbeat, and I was like, wow, it's something like living inside of me. It was a beautiful thing to hear.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country. Would you join with Preborn and Janet Mefford today and help women with crisis pregnancies choose life? For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, call 855-402-BABY. We really need your help during these summer months when donations tend to slow down. Please help right now if you can. 855-402-BABY. 855-402-2229. Or there's a Preborn banner to click at JanetMefford.com.
If you're looking for adventure, serving as a volunteer on the Mercy Ship is an adventure like no other. And you'll be serving on the largest non-governmental hospital ship in the world, providing free care to some of the world's poorest people. Whether it's performing a surgery, cleaning the deck, or transporting a patient to a recovery center, every day you'll be making a difference in the lives of struggling people. Begin your adventure today. Connect with us at mercyships.org. It's an adventure of a lifetime.
Welcome back to Janet Mefford Today. Glad to have you here and glad to be talking with Bob Merritt, who is senior pastor of Eagle Brook Church in Minnesota. And he is out with a book called Done With That, Escape the Struggle of Your Old Life. And Bob, you've been very gracious in talking about your own story, your own struggle with sin, in particular, your verbal struggles, misconduct, I think you said, and what you learned from it. And this is such a common experience, though, with Christians. I think we often think, well, I'm saved, so I'm never going to be bad again. You know, I'm a new creature in Christ and everything is going to be just wonderful from here. And yet that's not the typical experience. So what would you say about the old life has gone, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 points out, but we still struggle with sin? What insight do you think you've really gained through not only preaching and knowing the Word of God, but also your experience in explaining that to a new Christian? Hey, don't expect that once you leave your old life behind, that all your sin is suddenly going to magically disappear into the ether. You're still going to have to struggle with it.
Yeah, and I think that's just a great relief for Christians to hear even a pastor admit, hey, I still sin, and that's because I am a human being. Even though I'm a believer, I've been a Christian all my life, most of my life, for 50-some years. The Bible says the sinful human nature still lives within us, and that's at war with God's Spirit who lives within every believer. So there's a battle going on, and we need to fight that battle every day. And so that's why I pray every day. God, please lead me by your Spirit, protect me, control me. I need your help. I need your power in my life. But I think so. Just admitting that we all have issues in our lives is really a huge thing. And being aware, then, what is it? Getting some help from trusted friends or a counselor, even a pastor. Hey, what do you see in my life that's problematic is really, really important. But it's going to be a daily battle. One of the things that I talk about in the book, Janet, is where does this temptation happen most in your life? Where does this issue tend to bubble up in your life most? And so for some, you know, a lot of guys, it's pornography. That's the signature sin.
Right.
Struggle with it all the time. And as a young man, I did too. I knew this about me. I knew that was a dangerous area for me, a temptation for me. And so whenever I traveled, I learned, okay, airports are a bad place, especially airport bookstores. Mm. All the guys know where the magazines are. And so what I had to do, I had to say, okay, this is a temptation area for me. I had to literally walk on the other side of the aisle of the corridor to avoid going into an airport bookstore. You know, it might be a colleague's desk, and you're tempted. You know, whether it's a guy or gal, but you're married, and you know that, you know, I'm attracted to that person. It may be you just simply have to avoid going past that person's desk. So one of the key things to overcoming this is, where does this temptation happen most? And I just absolutely need to avoid any kind of contact, any kind of exposure to that temptation, because I'm simply not strong enough in the presence of that temptation to overcome it.
That's really important. And when you were talking about identifying your signature sin, you talked about yours being verbal misconduct. That would be one that, you know, you're stuck with yourself. You can walk away from a bookstore or a desk of an attractive colleague, and that's good. But what about signature sins that are really not affected by what's outside, but by what's inside? It starts in our hearts, we know, Jesus says.
Mm. Yeah. So, you know, I talk about where everything kind of starts in your mind, at least for a lot of us it does. I mean, we see messages, hear messages every single day, driving to work, billboard messages, TV, iPhones, you name it.
Yep.
It's all over. You can't avoid some of the negative messages that are out there in society. We get hit with them every single day. And so what I talk about is there's this stream of information, stream of exposure coming into my mind through my eyes and ears every single day. And you can't block all of it, but what you can do is you can purify the stream, is what I call it.
Right.
In other words, I need to make sure that every single day I touch base with a Bible verse. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. And then just reminding myself of that Bible verse. By the way, scripture memory is so important.
Amen.
Like that. You know, one of the verses I focused on this week in our congregation was, there is right now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And I said, look at this verse. There is right now, right in this moment, not an ounce of condemnation for those of you, here's the qualifier, who are in Christ. And I said, some of you have this tremendous guilt because you lost your marriage and it was your fault. You committed adultery. Or some of you had an abortion. And you have lived with this regret and guilt and loss every single day. Mm-hmm. I want you to see this verse and embrace it. There's right now no condemnation for those of you who are in Christ. And I got a letter from a gal this last week, just broken, distressed, guilt-ridden for years because of her abortion. And she said this was the moment that she felt Christ was forgiving her.
Hmm.
But that just came through scripture memory, just a verse like that. And so purifying your mind with a memory verse every single day, reading a good book like the one we're talking about, you know, just a couple of pages every day, just offsetting all the negative, really sometimes vile, immoral messaging that we all get hit with every single day. And that keeps me centered, keeps me tipped toward Christ and holy living versus tipping toward immorality and a sinful kind of lifestyle.
That's excellent. When you talk in the book about less rebellion, more obedience, that's what we're all supposed to be pursuing when we are, you know, being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit over the course of our lives. But we're also supposed to be actively obeying. I mean, when the Bible says that his commandments are not burdensome, that is the case, that we love the Lord and we are freed up to obey him. What would you say is a good way to focus on your obedience to the Lord without falling into legalism and this idea that somehow I'm working my way into God's favor? Because certainly when you're citing the verse about there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, we got to put that front and center. We understand we are saved because of what Jesus did, not because of our works. But what about this issue of obedience? What would you say to Christians about becoming more obedient and being more mindful of obeying the Lord in everything that we do?
Obedience is really intentional choices, right? I mean, it's really about, okay, what is it God is asking me to be obedient in? and identifying, you know, those things that this I need to be obedient and read his word. I need to be obedient and attend worship every week. I need to be obedient and avoid those temptation spots that I know are trouble for me. I need to be obedient in the way I talk, my words, and so forth. And those are intentional choices that I need to make. And obedience, you know, sounds laborsome, cumbersome. It doesn't sound like it's fun. But disobedience destroys you. I mean,
yeah.
You know, discipleship, the word discipleship, the root word is discipline. There's disciplines to living the Christian life. But man, the cost of non-discipleship, the cost of having an affair, the cost of hurting your children with your language, the cost of overspending, over-drinking, falling into addiction, the cost of non-discipleship is so high.
Yes.
I can never be convinced that, you know, the cost of obedience or discipleship is greater than the cost of non-discipleship, because all that stuff just leads to a kind of death in our life.
That's a great point.
So, yeah, obedience doesn't sound fun, but the payoff is freedom, joy, you know, no guilt, a relational wellness and intimacy with the ones that you love. I mean, there's no greater way to live than a life of obedience.
That's very true. That's very, very true. Something else you said in your book, which I thought was a very important point, is you were discussing this yearning that many of us have for our obsessions, you know, whether or not it's a TV show or a hobby or something like that. And you point out that many of us forget to nurture our souls. We chase our obsessions to the neglect of our souls. I think that's a problem across our society, but that shouldn't be a problem for Christians, and yet it can be. How do we change that?
Well, I think for me, when the pain of life becomes so acute, and pain can come in the form of being afraid a lot, being anxious a lot, I experience anxiety all the time, fear. So when those things really begin to take over my spirit, my soul, I know that I have not nurtured my soul enough. And so for me, you know, if I want to have a life that's somewhat free of anxiety, somewhat free of constant fear, I've got to make sure that I've made room in my soul for God's love, God's spirit, God's joy, his peace. And I got to feed my soul every single day, because I get hit with stuff every single day that challenges that.
Yes.
So, you know, anything that occupies the space in my soul that belongs to God is a problem. That's an obsession. I love to deer hunt, so I hope that's okay with some of you.
Sure.
I don't really shoot much, but I love to sit in a tree. And so for the 12 days during November, I go crazy. I'm obsessed with deer hunting. I think about scent control, wind direction, deer movement. And it really begins to affect my marriage, actually, a little bit. And it begins to squeeze God out of my soul.
Yeah.
Where I become soul sick.
And you've got to deal with that. So true. Bob, we're out of time. Bob Merritt, his book is Done With That. Bob, so good to have you here. God bless you, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much, Janet.
God bless you. We'll be back. This Janet Mefford Today podcast is brought to you by Affirm Films and the Kendrick Brothers movie Overcomer, starring Alex Kendrick and Priscilla Shire, rated PG, parental guidance suggested, in theaters August 23rd. More information is available at overcomermovie.com. This hour of Janet Mefford Today, brought to you by Affirm Films and the Kendrick Brothers movie Overcomer, starring Alex Kendrick and Priscilla Shire, rated PG, parental guidance suggested, in theaters August 23rd. More information is available at overcomermovie.com. Well, I want to dive into a little bit of Gospel Coalition today, which I'm always a little bit reluctant to do because my blood pressure goes up, but I'm going to talk about the Gospel Coalition because, as you know, in bringing to you the news of Revoice over the last over a year now, doing our God's Voice conference back at the end of February. It has become necessary increasingly in the last year for me to talk about the Gospel Coalition and its leaders who are errant and pushing, in my view, the church toward a soft view on homosexuality. And in fact, I think it's going to be more nefarious than that when it all plays out in the final analysis. We shall see what the Lord does. But I have had, as you know, lots of complaints about how they have gone soft on homosexuality over at the Gospel Coalition. D.A. Carson, one of the co-founders of the Gospel Coalition, he was the one who endorsed Greg Cole's book, Single Gay Christian. And you'll recall it was about a year and a half ago. I did a show on that with my friend Stephen Black from First Stone Ministries. And I talked about how outrageous this was. How in the world could a man known for his skills in interpreting the New Testament possibly turn around and endorse a book by a guy who's talking about his visions of Jesus, where Jesus says you don't have to be straight and talks about, it was completely ridiculous, that book. There was nothing Christian about that book. And the co-founder of the Gospel Coalition endorsed it, fully endorsed it. Oh, he's a single gay Christian living for Jesus. What? What are you talking about? Then you have the Kellers, not just Tim Keller, but his wife, Kathy Keller. And you remember some of the stuff that went on. I'm going to get into that a little bit regarding Sam Alberry's biblically inclusive church audit, finding out how sufficiently pro-gay your church is. Because, boy, that's what the Gospel Coalition needs to do to stand for the gospel, is push you toward inclusivism in your church when it comes to what God calls an abomination. But, you know, maybe I'm just showing my dinosaur bona fides. Anyway, I want to get to this story because I think this all ties together, and I'm going to show you how it all ties together. But I have to give credit over at Reformation Charlotte because they did a very good job. They've been following a lot of this stuff that we've been talking about for quite a while. One of the people, and I'm going to back up a little bit here about Living Out. Living Out, you might recall, is a ministry based in the UK. It's headed up by Sam Alberry. Sam Alberry, editor at the Gospel Coalition. I don't know how much he's doing right now because he got so much criticism. I think he's kind of ducked for cover at this point. I don't really know how much he's doing, but he was doing a lot for a long time. And Sam Alberry is a gay priest. He says he's non-practicing. This is the new cool thing. And all the cool kids are doing it. We're all same-sex attracted, but boy, are we suffering Christians. We're suffering for the Lord with our same-sex attraction. And I'm not trying to deny that all of us can suffer with different kinds of sins, but these people are just, they're going in the wrong direction. The sexual minority stuff, forget that. That's all revoice. And it's just incrementalism. It's just moving the church toward acceptance of homosexuality. You just got to call it out for what it is. At any rate, you might recall that I was very critical of this biblically inclusive church audit that Living Out put out. It was part of what they call their local course. And they were on track at one point to bring the local course to Mark Dever's church. Mark Dever, very heavily involved in the Gospel Coalition and T4G, the other group that he founded with Al Mohler, C.J. Mahaney, and those guys, Ligon Duncan. And this biblically inclusive church audit, once we gave it some publicity, got rewritten a little bit. Number 9 always stands out. The question was, how biblically inclusive is your church? 10 statements to help you audit your church family. Because that's what you want. You want some pro-gay group in the UK telling your church in the United States how pro-gay it needs to be. I mean, are we insane? Number 9, this is what you're supposed to answer. True, false, or not sure. Church family members instinctively share meals, homes, holidays, festivals, money, children with others from different backgrounds and life situations to them. All right. So effectively what they were saying is you need to share your kids with the gay members of your church or the gay attenders of your church. Are you kidding me? And of course, we made a big stink about this and then they rewrote it. So it doesn't say that anymore. But it was the case that when this first came out, Kathy Keller was speaking with her husband, Tim Keller, co-founder of the Gospel Coalition, at the Living Out Conference. This was in June of 2018. This is what she had to say about that church audit. This is Cut 5.
I wish I had seen this before I designed my talk. This is brilliant. I'm going to take it back to Redeemer and make copies and give them to all the church leaders. I would recommend that you do the same for whoever your pastors and church leaders are. Really, really thoughtful and well, I mean, nobody asked me to say this, by the way. This is all because I really do think it's brilliant.
Yeah, it's really brilliant. Oh, let's listen to number 10. No one would be pressured into expecting or seeking any healing or change that God has not promised any of us until the renewal of all things. In other words, we don't want to believe in a gospel that transforms the sinner from inside out. There's no power of God that could actually transform you from once practicing or lusting homosexually to actually obeying the Lord and not having those lusts anymore. Look, I'm not saying that it's easy, but what they're doing up front is they're just denying that you could ever change. I don't want their God. If they have a God who says God cannot deliver you and don't expect him to, that's not a God I'm interested in. Thank you. I'm interested in the biblical God who regularly transforms sinners from the inside out and is a God, in my view, of absolute miracles when it comes to what he does in the lives of his church. These people are selling God short. So all of this is to say that Reformation Charlotte brings up a really important story in my view, and it's this. Ed Shaw is another one of the partners over at Living Out. And he was, as they point out, exposed for his implicit and explicit promotion of unbiblical sexual ideology. And even Sam Alberry himself attempted to distance himself from Ed Shaw after it was exposed. And yet, despite Shaw's continued promotion of LGBTQ activism, the Gospel Coalition continues to platform him as though he has anything to offer in the way of church edification, which, by the way, he doesn't. He did a recent interview with the Gospel Coalition. This was over at the Gospel Coalition's Australian sites. I don't know. They're all around the world. This is what he says. Listen to this. I'm going to quote Ed Shaw from Living Out, Sam Alberry's buddy. Quote, I'm wanting the young people who come to this upcoming event to know that Jesus is the one person that they can fully trust with their sexualities, identities, and gender, because he is both their creator God and a human being who knows what it is like to grapple with a sexuality, identity, and gender. Folks, that is blasphemy, because the Lord Jesus Christ never grappled with his sexuality, his identity, or his gender. This is invented, and it is heresy. I'm going to say it flat out. This is heresy. Do you really think for 1 minute it crossed the mind of the perfect, holy Lord Jesus Christ, I don't really know what my identity is, and I'm not really sure about my gender? This is so offensive. This stuff is running at the Gospel Coalition. Where are they going with this stuff? Where are they going with this stuff? What are they going to do with this stuff? And I read the whole interview here, Ed Shaw on the church and same-sex attracted people. He's talking about the local course, which, by the way, was supposed to be held at Mark Dever's church at one point. And when we publicized it, all of a sudden it disappeared into thin air. All of a sudden, Mark Dever wasn't holding it. This is what these people do when they're caught red-handed doing things and saying things and promoting things that are flatly unbiblical. They redo. And articles get omitted, and they're taken down off the website, and ooh, I don't know what you're talking about. You have to screenshot everything with these people because they redo everything. Once they're caught, then they back up and they slow down and they try to do what they're doing, but they try to do it at a slower pace. They are moving the church toward acceptance of homosexuality flat out. Flat out. I'm reading this thing from Ed Shaw. This guy has no business. I guess he's a pastor in the UK. This guy's no business being a pastor. It's all about how to change the church. And he's asked about a disconnection from what God wants the church to do on sexuality and gender. And he says something about a form of idolatry towards marriage and family that's blinded us to the fact that lots of people live their lives as single people. And some people are same-sex attracted and not everybody gets married. You can be just as effective in Christian life and ministry as a single. Right, correct. But God never said that you should just be content in your same-sex attraction and celebrate it and push it on the church and make the church take all of these audits in which you decide whether or not they're pleasing you. Again, we're back to this marriage and family as an idol talk. They're doing this because they're softening us up for gay marriage and gay adoption. I'm telling you, that's where it's headed. And it gets worse. I'm going to tell you when we come back about a Southern Baptist church that is living out, to coin a phrase, exactly what the Gospel Coalition is pushing. We're going to come back and tell you about it right after this. Stay with us. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to your health care? As a Christian, are you looking for health care that doesn't violate your morals and convictions? Well, we're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded Christians who work together to pay for their medical costs. It allows you to decide how, when, and where you will access health care so you can make the best choice for you and your family. Starting at $199 a month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is how healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com and regain control over your healthcare costs. 855-585-4237 or lightyourliberty.com. Together, we're changing healthcare for good. Hi, this is Janet Mefford for Preborn. Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn has 10 centers that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you make a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost more than most centers can afford. Your tax-deductible gift of $15,000 will place a machine in a needy women's center and save countless lives for years to come. To donate, call 855-402-BABY, 855-402-BABY, or there's a banner to click at janetmefford.com. We are back on Janet Mefford today. I'm telling you, I don't take any joy in going after the Gospel Coalition, but what are you supposed to do? When Calvin talks about a dog barks when his master is attacked, and that's how the Christian ought to be, the Christian cannot help but speak up when his master is attacked. I identify with that. I just do. I don't care what your name is, and I don't care how many big muckety-mucks you have running your organization. If you're going to do stuff that is toxic to the gospel of Jesus Christ and toxic to his church, I'm going to call you out on it, and I don't care who you are. And you are free to call me out on things if I do things that are not biblical. Iron sharpens iron. But I have had it with the celebrity worship. I have had it with people. Oh, we got to give everybody the benefit of the doubt because these are big names. I mean, they have big conferences and big book deals and they're very, very, very famous. Yeah, so is Harry Emerson Fosdick, folks. You can look him up as well. So I want to go on. Ed Shaw over at the Gospel Coalition, some terrible remarks, blasphemous, heretical remarks about the Lord Jesus struggling with gender and sexuality. I've never heard anything so offensive this week. We'll see how it goes down next week. Oh, he's also taught that men being physically attracted to other men manifests itself into intimate relationships, and that doesn't necessarily make you gay. It's just, you know, generally normal. This is what Reformation Charlotte has pointed out. But where does all of this stuff go? Where does it end up? Well, again, I give credit to Jeff Maples over at Reformation Charlotte because they have exposed this Southern Baptist church that just recently said that they're going to fully endorse homosexuality and gay church membership. Southern Baptist Church. And they say if the fruit of the gay celibate movement led by the Gospel Coalition and the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission movement has accomplished one thing, it's been to move churches closer toward full acceptance and inclusion of homosexuality. This stuff has an effect, you guys. I can't say for sure whether or not this church, which is called Townview Baptist Church in Kennesaw, Georgia, has any sort of interest in the Gospel Coalition, but they're right in line with them because they're being inclusive. They're being so inclusive. Do you want to listen to this? Well, I'm going to play it for you. This is Jim Conrad, the pastor. And this past weekend, he announced that the church would no longer disallow membership from open practicing homosexuals. Again, this is not an Episcopalian church. This is not a United Church of Christ. This is not a church in the ELCA. This is a Southern Baptist church. Listen to cut one.
I believe that John 3:16 is God's promised good news for all people. And that the invitation of whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved is offered to straight people, lesbians, and gay men. Accordingly, at our September deacons meeting, I'll make the following recommendation. Recognizing that there are within our church family a variety of understandings on the issue of human sexuality, it's the sense of Townview Baptist Church that all who profess faith in Jesus Christ and have been baptized upon that profession of faith, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity, will be welcomed into the membership of this church. If our deacons, in their role as our membership committee, approve this recommendation, times will be scheduled and promoted for church discussion where all members will be invited and all members will have the opportunity to participate, and then the congregation will vote.
Well, super. And what these people do, generally speaking, when they go liberal on these issues is they don't use the Bible. They just talk about how inclusive they want to be. And so they take some truth and then they twist it. What he did there is he said something that was true, which is that the gospel is offered to all. It's offered to all sinners, whether gay or straight. Absolutely. But the gospel, as we know, requires repentance from sin and a turning over of your full life and your heart, soul, mind, and strength to the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to his lordship. He's not just your savior, he's your Lord. So when he talks about the fact that there is a variety of understandings of human sexuality in the congregation, and somehow that justifies having gay members in the church, hey, buddy, I mean, why don't you just, if you had people in the congregation who had a variety of understandings on who Jesus is, I mean, you certainly want all those to be accommodated, don't you? I mean, some people might think Jesus is just a prophet. Other people might think he's the Son of God. Other people might think he's just a good moral teacher. I mean, what difference does it make? There's a variety of understandings of who Jesus Christ is. Just admit everybody. Aren't we inclusive? Aren't we inclusive? You would never do that because you understand how important that doctrine is if you don't have Jesus Christ as God and the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Messiah, then you don't have Christianity anymore. And I would argue when you mess up human sexuality and you, in fact, embrace sexuality that the Bible calls an abomination, you don't have any excuse. And I fear with a godly fear how God will deal with you if you stay in this error. Let me go on. Let's listen to the rest of what he had to say. This is cut two.
Reaction to my presentation to our deacons has been, as expected, varied. Many have been supportive. Many have expressed their opposition. Our pastors have been threatened with action by the personnel committee if we don't put a stop to it. There was even a secret telephone campaign last week while I was out of town. Now, over my tenure here, I've been criticized for people not knowing where I stand on issues and for avoiding conflict. Well, this is where I stand, and while not seeking conflict in a church that I dearly love, I'm resolute in my conviction that I'm faithfully following the Spirit's leadership. As much as I cherish the 25 years of ministry here, the next 25 are even more crucial for this church. I could be wrong, but if I'm wrong, I'll be wrong on the side of grace. I'd rather let somebody in that God sorts out than keep someone out that God wanted in.
What kind of logic is that? I could be wrong. You are wrong. You are wrong, and this isn't grace. Because a gospel that is not the biblical gospel is cause for you to be accursed, according to the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians. If anybody, even an angel from heaven, comes to you preaching another gospel, let him be accursed. That's what the word of God says. And I didn't hear any word of God in any of this. I just want to let all these people in. You know, it sounds good if you don't know your Bible. It sounds nice, doesn't it? He just wants to include everybody. Well, it's nice to include people, but this isn't the YMCA. This isn't the Kiwanis Club. This isn't the Girl Scouts. And I just don't understand how you can get to that point in ministry and you're so delusional on the issue of human sexuality. It's as if you never opened a Bible. Let me go, for example, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is the section of scripture where it discusses the Lord's Supper. And you've heard this passage, no doubt, many, many times from your pastor, where it talks about the Lord Jesus breaking the bread. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then also the cup. And picking up in verse 26, this is what it says. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. That means dead. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. This is a very sobering passage because it's talking about how important it is to take the Lord's Supper seriously, to examine yourself to see whether or not you are in the faith. God gives all kinds of warnings. Think about what happened with Uzzah, for example. Think about what happened with Ananias and Sapphira. I mean, the study of the story of Uzzah and the Ark of the Covenant, you can find this in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Uzzah was the guy who reached out and took hold of the ark when the oxen stumbled, and God struck him dead. God struck him dead. Ananias and Sapphira held back some of the proceeds of the sale of their land. They were struck dead. Look, we don't like to read those sorts of passages, but we need to read those sorts of passages because the Lord takes his holy name seriously. And so should we. And if we don't, we shouldn't even bother going to church. We have to decide for ourselves, based on God's word, what Christianity actually is, not invent a Bible-free Christianity that makes the world really happy, and you'll get a lot of accolades from the LGBT websites for how inclusive you are. That terrifies me. That terrifies me. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah, for heaven's sake. Look at what the Lord has done throughout history when he's had enough. Doesn't that terrify you? It should terrify you. He is a God of grace. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of love, but he is also holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We have to remember that, saints. We can't take God's holiness lightly, and we certainly can't take church membership lightly. The bottom line is, to be a church member, you have to be a Christian. And in order to be a Christian, you have to repent of your sin. You have to agree with the Lord about your sin. Doesn't mean you're sinless, but you can't be born again of the Spirit of God if you're still hanging on to your old life and refusing to let go of it. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Hard words, but that's the truth. I hope this man does realize he's wrong and repents. Pray for him. Thanks for being with us. You're listening to Janet Mefford today. We'll see you next time.